Good evening. Welcome to Shadow Mountain Baptist Church Online. We're so glad that you joined us tonight. I hope that your week has been filled with the grace of God and that you have found it all sufficient for all things as He promises. We had a wonderful service on Sunday, and I'm looking forward to another one this Sunday as we meet again right outside here in between the buildings at 9:45. And if you're able to make it, I hope that you will. And it was just a great spirit to see everybody together. And the cooperation and the testimonies were amazing. And I just praise the Lord for His grace and for His willingness to bless us even in times like we're living in. And tonight I want to just continue in our series, Counting the Cost. We looked last week at holding on to what we have based on 2 Timothy chapter 1. So if you go ahead and turn in your Bibles there, 2 Timothy chapter 1 verses 12 through 14. And while you're turning there, I would just like to ask you to continue to pray for our church, that God would use us to be a light in the darkness. I was speaking to somebody a couple of days ago and told them of my experiences the last few days being out in the public. And everywhere I go now, I'm just talking to everybody saying, hello, how are you? Good morning. And it really does make a difference, not only in my life. I think it made a difference for me just to be more positive and more encouraging, but also in the life of others. And I didn't have anybody fall down and I didn't have anybody pass out because I actually spoke to them. I don't know that they were necessarily startled, but I think they were like, oh, wow, someone's saying hi. And I just want to remind you, this is a great time for Christians to stand out. And we don't have to be standing on the street corners preaching about hell and heaven and all that kind of stuff in order to stand out. We just have to be walking in the joy of the Lord. The Bible says that's our strength. And so I want to encourage you to encourage someone else by shining that light and letting people see, you know what, we're Christians and we have the confidence of God. And we should be able to share that with somebody else. And we'll look forward to what God's going to do in that. I hope you're having a good day. And I want to ask you to pray for those traveling and pray for those who are in their transition. I know my daughter is still traveling. And she's in Colorado tonight. Also know that the Burks are back in Florida, so if you'll pray for them. And I would like to ask you also to pray for Dave Winters. Dave has had contract negotiations, and the county has been laying off people of the court for a while. And they're under agreement now, and he's trying to figure out what God wants them to do. So just pray for God's will in his life. I know that he would greatly appreciate that. And so as we turn to the scriptures here tonight, 2 Timothy chapter 1, verses 12 through 14, I'll do just a brief review and then we'll jump right into the last two points that we missed out on last week. 2 Timothy chapter 1, if you notice with me, verses 12 through 14. For the which cause I also suffer these things, nevertheless I am not ashamed, for I know whom I have believed and am persuaded that he is able to keep that which I have committed unto him against that day. Hold fast the form of sound words which thou hast heard of me, in faith and love which is in Christ Jesus. That good thing which was committed unto thee, keep by the Holy Ghost which dwelleth in us. And let's pray tonight. Heavenly Father, we do thank you for being so gracious and for loving us so much. We thank you for sending your only Son, Jesus Christ, to die for our sin. We thank you for salvation. We thank you that it's free. We thank you that it's by grace through faith and nothing more, nothing less. We thank you, God, for the eternal security of the believer that is in the seal of the Holy Spirit. We thank you for bringing a comforter to us. We thank you that we're never alone. We thank you that you have never forsaken us. We thank you, God, that you're so long-suffering with us and forbearing. We thank you for the wonderful service that we had on Sunday. God, I'm so grateful, Lord, for all the people that came. What a blessing. What an encouragement. The testimonies so encouraged my heart. I thank you, Father, for the Word of God tonight. I thank you that it is eternal. That long after this world passes away, your Word will still exist. Father, we thank you for the promise of heaven. We look forward to the day that you will come and get us. And yet, God, for such a time as this, we pray that as we draw breath every single day, that you would strengthen our testimony, that you would strengthen our faith, and that you would help our lives to make a difference in the lives of those that have not Christ. Father, tonight we pray for those traveling. I pray for Pal and Matt, their kids. I pray, Father, for the Burks, that you would keep them all safe, that you would protect them, God, from the evil one, And God, that you would give them travel mercies wherever they go, however they go. I pray that you'd bring them back to us safely. Lord, even the Gridleys as they're in Texas, I pray, Father, this weekend as they travel back, that you would bring them back safely as well. God, others that may be in and out, those that are on tour tonight, the Panettos as they work, I pray that you would keep them safe. Watch over their families, God. Please protect them. I pray for Brother McCross and Brother Gridley as they go to work when they do. I pray that you would keep them safe. Pray that you'd watch them not only in their travels, but in their job. Father, I pray for Dave as he, Lord, has now a new contract with the county. And Lord, this pandemic has touched so many lives. All the people that lost their job now from the county circuit court because of this virus. I pray that you'd provide for them. And I'm thankful that you provided for Dave. Now I pray that you just provide wisdom for him. Watch over their family. I think of Isilda DeMercado tonight, that you'd prepare her body, God, as she prepares for more treatment. We pray, God, for healing. We pray that you would touch their family. We pray for strength. God, I pray for the Shadow Mountain Baptist Church, that we as a church, God, would draw our cues from the throne room. I pray, God, that we would submit ourselves to your leadership. I pray that we would be faithful to the end. God, not knowing what lies ahead of us tomorrow, we believe wholeheartedly that you are fully in control of all things. And we know that you work all things together for good. To those who love you, to those who are the called according to your purpose. So as we live for your purpose, we pray that you'd be glorified. You would help us to be faithful to that purpose. Now, God, tonight, I yield myself to you and I ask that you'd help me. Help me to be a blessing to your people. Help me as a pastor to equip Christians for what's coming. I pray that you will help us to listen carefully what the Spirit of God has to say and help us to hold fast. I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. As we continue to watch the spiritual wickedness in high places influence our culture, as I said last week, we are called by God in the midst of those circumstances, to be steadfast, to be immovable, and to always abound in the work of the Lord. That statement in 1 Corinthians 15 is not conditional on cultural circumstances or even on financial circumstances. It is, no matter where we find ourselves as a Christian, God calls us to be faithful. Paul's letter to Timothy was intended not only to encourage a discouraged pastor, but also to prepare him and every other Christian for the day when their faith would be tested and eventually when their faith would be persecuted due to the world's hatred for Jesus Christ. Now, it's vitally important for every Christian to remember that if and when our faith is persecuted and if and when our faith is tried, it's not because of people's hatred or the world's hatred or the government's hatred toward us. It's the world's hatred toward Christ. And I think in many ways that helps us to digest or assimilate circumstances because we look at this atrocity of truth falling in the streets and there is no judgment according to Isaiah. And we forget that this is Satan's hatred toward Christ being played out in the hearts and minds of people. And unless we take it personally, though I think because we're in the family of God, we should, it's not their hatred toward us, it's toward our God. It's toward our Savior. Paul's admonition is for every Christian then to hold fast. We saw last week that holding fast means taking possession and holding on to what's been given. And we talked about a variety of things that God's given to us. But we learned last week specifically of the importance, as the Bible says here, hold fast in verse 13 to sound words which thou hast heard of me. And we talked about the word form, and that was a pattern. And Jesus started that pattern. And those sound words talked about doctrine and how the apostles took that pattern and they handed it down. And in Acts chapter 2, they continued steadfast and daily in the apostles' doctrine. And then that doctrine was handed down. And now 2,000 years later, that form of sound words has been put in our possession. And here Timothy says, hold fast to that, what you have, what you've heard of me. That apostolic word that God gave to Paul, that Paul would then transfer to us through the inspired and preserved word of God. God says, I want you to hold fast to that and the importance of sound words. And we talked about the necessity of doctrine and then, of course, holding fast to what the Bible says in every matter for faith and practice. and the effect that that has on every believer. We made the statement that any heart that would be open to the Spirit's leading and eagerly listening to all that God has to them, there would be no denying the will of God for that individual, nor the grace of God, because they're completely sold on the fact that their life belongs to God and the Word of God is preeminent in their life. Now, tonight I want to talk about two other points. We talked last week about holding on to the truth. Tonight we want to talk about what verse 14 talks about, and that is holding on to the trust. Holding on to the trust. Now, verse 14, notice what it says. That good thing which was committed unto thee, keep by the Holy Ghost which dwelleth in us. Now, hear that good thing. Everything that God had done, not just to save Timothy, but to equip Timothy for his calling. Now, what was his calling? Well, his calling was a preacher. But as a Christian, he was given a trust like every other preacher, like every other Christian. Not enough Christians view their life as a stewardship, unfortunately, but it is. Every good gift that God has bestowed upon us comes with a responsibility and a purpose that brings glory to God. Knowing that, Paul explains to Timothy the importance of holding fast to that which has been given to all of us for a purpose. Now, perhaps in light of that explanation, you can understand why Paul spoke these words back in 1 Timothy chapter 1 and verse 11. Notice, according to the glorious gospel of the blessed God, which was committed to my trust. Now, let's just think that, just take that for what it is, and let's ask the question. Did the gospel of Jesus Christ, was it only committed to the apostle Paul? Now, if that's true, then that commitment to propagate the gospel would have died with Paul and we would not be here. And so we obviously can go back and say, okay, well, this is not just about what was committed to Paul. No, this is a trust committed to every single Christian. And that call of God on our life to keep to take that and to give it to someone else is the exact same thing. God's word, his gospel, has been placed into our hands. And the Bible says that we must keep it or hold fast to it, not only so that we don't forget it, and that's a huge part of it, but for the purpose of being used by God to give it to someone else. Now, praise the Lord, Paul was faithful. Praise the Lord that by everything we know in history that Timothy was faithful. And praise the Lord that people that pastored the church at Ephesus and the church at Smyrna and the churches of Corinth and on down the line were faithful. And I'm thankful for that because without them being faithful, we would not be here. We would not have the faith. We would not have been put in trust of the gospel as well. But notice also that God tells us the means by which we are to steward this great trust. Now, it's a given. The gospel was given to the disciples. The gospel was given to Paul. And these disciples were to take it and they were to hand it off. Notice in chapter 2 and verse 1, thou therefore, my son, be strong in the grace that is in Christ Jesus. And the things that thou hast heard of me among many witnesses, the same commit thou to faithful men who shall be able to teach others also. Now, this is the idea. But it's not just about, okay, here's the gospel and however you take it, just get it out. No. In fact, here in verse 14, he talks specifically about the means. How is it that we're supposed to steward this great trust? Well, the Bible tells us by the power of the Holy Spirit. Look what it says in verse 14. That good thing which was committed unto thee, keep by the Holy Ghost, and notice, which dwelleth in us. Now, that's not foreign to us. We know that when we get saved, that the Holy Spirit of God inhabits our life. He lives in us. He is tabernacling with us. Romans chapter 8 and verse 11. But if the Spirit of him that raised up Jesus from the dead dwell in you, he that raised up Christ from the dead shall also quicken your mortal bodies by his Spirit that dwelleth in you. Twice in one verse, God overemphasizes the dwelling of the Holy Spirit. Again, in 1 Corinthians chapter 3, know ye not that ye are the temple of God and that the Spirit of God dwelleth in you? If any man defile the temple of God, him shall God destroy, for the temple of God is holy, which temple ye are. Now, that being the case, I want you to go back And I want you to look at verse 13 for a minute. Now, we know that the Holy Spirit dwells in us. We know that that we've been entrusted with the gospel. Well, notice what it says in verse 13. Hold fast the form of sound words, which thou hast heard of me. And then notice this, in faith and love. Now, you understand faith and love. The gospel without faith and love will never lead people to Christ. You see, just the gospel giving to us without the Holy Spirit of God and without telling us, look, you're not just stewards of the gospel of God, you're stewards of the Spirit of God. And when the Spirit leads me in His way and I don't quench it, and I certainly don't want to grieve it, when He leads me, what is the outcome? Well, I know from Galatians chapter 5 that two of the fruits of the Spirit are mentioned right here. That is faith and love. What we see in Scripture is that God says, I want you to steward my Spirit. I want you to steward my Spirit, because how you steward my Spirit is going to be how you steward the gospel. For instance, when the Holy Spirit of God prompts me to talk to someone else, that's a steward, first of all, of the Spirit of God. And then as I go and I begin to speak from the Bible, that is the stewardship of the Word of God. Paul reminds us all here that the gospel and the purpose of the gospel has been deposited into our life for two reasons, obviously, several reasons. Obviously, to change our destiny. Certainly, God wants all men to be saved. The Bible says that He's not willing that any should perish. He wants every single soul to go to heaven. That's what they were created for, to be in His presence. But it's not just about changing our destiny and the deposit of the gospel into us for that. It's also supposed to change our direction and purpose in life. That's what the Holy Spirit does. The Holy Spirit drives me to live for Jesus Christ and drives me to live by faith in God so that I please Him, not trying to please myself. We can get caught up on all kinds of things that get us off track. But God says, no, I want you to have a different purpose, not the purpose of your boss at the corporate level. Not the purpose of your neighbors in the community level. I want you to live for my purpose, which is in the heavenly realm. But not just our destiny and not certainly just our direction. God also deposits the gospel so that we can deposit it in someone else. Hence the stewardship. You see, what I do with what God has given me, if I hold fast to it, if I keep it, will determine what God does with other people. I'll say that again. What I do with what God has given me will determine what God does with other people. Writer William Barclay said it this way. Not only do we put our trust in God, but God also puts His trust in us. You see, he said the idea of God's dependence on men is never far from the New Testament thought. When God wants something done, He has to find a man or a woman to do it. If God wants a child taught, if God wants a message brought, if God wants a sermon preached or a wanderer found or a sorrowing one comforted, a sick one healed, He has to find some agent and some instrument to do His work. Do you know what that's called? Stewardship. As I steward the Holy Spirit of God, as I steward the gospel and the sound words of doctrine in my life, as I listen for the Holy Spirit's prompting, God says, I can use that individual. I can trust that individual. In 2 Timothy chapter 2 and verse 15, turn over there if you will. Study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. You see, it goes back to what I do with the Bible that makes me a workman or not. Yes, the Bible says we're laborers together with God, but I got to show up to work. And William Barclay makes a great point here, and that is, basically, are you a willing agent of God? Have you presented yourself so that God could actually use you? Are you stewarding your life and stewarding the possessions that God has given you, in this context, the Word of God or the Gospel and the Holy Spirit, so that you can be used? Paul is encouraging Timothy to be that agent for his church. Matthew Henry said of the same passage, the Christian doctrine, the sound words, is a trust committed to all of us. He said it is committed to us to be preserved pure and in Tyre, and to be transmitted to those who shall come after us, and we must keep it and not contribute anything to the corrupting of its purity, the weakening of its power, or the diminishing of its perfection. I find it absolutely miraculous that the words that Paul spoke, the words that Isaiah spoke, the words that Moses wrote and spoke, I have. That God, through agents just like me and you, not only wrote his word, but preserved his word so that I could be a steward of that word as well. What if they had not been good stewards? Where would that leave us today? You see, the perpetuity of sound words and the propagation of the gospel all rests with our stewardship and our ability and willingness to hold fast, to keep that which has been given unto us and commit that unto him against that day, regardless of what we may go through or what we may see happen in our country. God says, I am looking for a faithful steward to whom I can work through. It's worth noting that the believer can keep his trust and do the work of God only then by the power of the Holy Spirit of God. It's the Spirit of God who gifts the believer and then calls him to work for the Lord. So every genuine believer is given specific work to do for the Lord, but the believer cannot do the work for God in his own strength. So he says to Timothy, look, I can appreciate the fact that you're listening to me. I can appreciate the fact that you've allowed me to influence your life. But Timothy, the good thing that was committed unto thee, keep by the Holy Ghost which dwelleth in us. That possession, he says, hold fast to and steward it faithfully. 1 Peter 4 and verse 10 says, as every man hath received the gift, even so minister the same one to another as good stewards of the manifold grace of God. 1 Corinthians chapter 4 and verse 1. Let a man so account of us, Paul said, as the ministers of Christ and stewards of the mysteries of God. Moreover, it is required in stewards that a man be found, you know the word, faithful. Now, in the days we're living in, it's important then to establish the fact that you and I, as believers, have a stewardship. And that stewardship is going to matter when times get worse and worse. It's going to matter when family members don't agree with you. It's going to matter when people at work look at you a little differently and maybe even report you to HR because you're praying in the lunchroom, or you have a track on your desk, or you put one on the bulletin board, or far be it that you've actually given it to somebody. That's when it matters. You see, when sin increases, when godly people cease, and when the faithful fail, that's when it matters. It's still a stewardship. Circumstances don't dictate our convictions or our stewardship. They simply reveal them. So, Paul says to Timothy, Timothy, I want you to hold fast. Hold on to the truth. Then he says, I want you to hold on to this trust, that which was committed unto thee by the Holy Ghost, which dwelleth in us. Keep it. Take what God has given to you and hold on to it. Thirdly, he mentions here the importance of holding on through treachery. Holding on through treachery. Now, I want you to notice here in the last several verses as we close this first chapter. Paul says, this thou knowest, that all they which are in Asia be turned away from me. Now, Paul had a great ministry, or wasn't allowed to minister in some areas, but the people that he did minister to turned away. Notice even of whom are Phygellus and Hermogenes. Two people, we don't necessarily know who they are at this point. And then he says, the Lord give mercy unto the house of Onesiphorus. For he oft refreshed me, and he wasn't ashamed of my chain. But when he was in Rome, he sought me out very diligently, and he ended up finding me. Verse 18, the Lord grant unto him that he may find mercy of the Lord in that day, and in how many things he ministered unto me at Ephesus, thou knowest very well. Now I got to confess to you, this is a beautiful picture of how God uses people in difficult times to encourage others who are going through dark days. The word treachery, they tell me, means a violation of faith and confidence. Certainly, in verse 15, the fact that those, all they which are in Asia, have turned away from me. And then he names two specifically would qualify for the definition of that term. And in Paul's walk, in Paul's ministry, in Paul's delivering the doctrine and talking to Christians, these two, more than likely believers, violated Paul's faith in them and his confidence in them. It speaks to the two names mentioned in our text. Now, one thing that is for certain is the days are coming when Christians are going to be persecuted for what they believe. Recently, Joe Biden has postured himself against Christians by saying that the LGBTQ community has suffered because of his statement, quote, religious condemnation and social isolation. Now, translated in my own simple mind, that means that without God's intervention, someday in America, preaching the Bible against that lifestyle will be considered hate speech and will be banned and prosecuted if carried out. Now, that means that there will be people and preachers who stand with God and the Bible, and those people will be forsaken by other believers, and the trust of God's word must be held onto even when others forsake us. So the Apostle Paul is here and he's telling the fact, look, I know that in Rome, at first when he was in prison there, he was given his own house and people were come. Now the indication is they've moved him to a cell block and now he's just a common prisoner with everybody else, probably with the changing of the monarch. Now Paul has to be sought after. Onesiphorus, the indication is that he went there simply trying to find him, but it took diligence to actually get to Paul, and he found him. And somewhere between when Paul left Ephesus and he ends up in this prison cell, God dispatched one person who was willing to stand fast with the one who had been violated. It's amazing to me. Though people will forsake those that are standing with God and on God's word, the Bible calls us to hold on to no matter what. You see, I fully believe had Onesiphorus or no one else ever come to Paul to encourage him, that he would have still held fast. In fact, the Bible says in 1 Timothy chapter 6 and verse 20, O Timothy, keep that which is committed to thy trust, avoiding profane and vain babblings and oppositions of science falsely so called, which some professing have erred concerning the faith. Grace be with thee. He's saying, look, I want you to understand, you've got to hold faith. Take those the opportunities of people that are trying to pull you away and just stand by yourself. Walk away from those people. We do not know who Phygellus or Hermogenes were. It could be that they were at one point leaders in the church who opposed Paul and would not come to his defense in Rome at all. You would think that the Asian believers would have stood with Paul, but instead they were ashamed of him. And at the same time, whether they knew it or not, they were ashamed of Christ. It was certainly then a dark hour for Paul, sitting in a cell, under chain, under watch, nobody there. He confesses Demas had forsaken him in 2 Timothy 4 and verse 10. He forsook him because he loved the world. His other associates had been sent to distant places of ministry. False doctrine was spreading in the church, according to 2 Timothy 2, verses 17 and 18. How Paul would have loved to be free to preach the word. I think Paul would have loved to defend the faith out and open, out in the public, but he was in a Roman prison. At that point, it would have been up to Timothy to get the job done. But there was one man who dared to leave Ephesus and come to Paul. That was Onesiphorus. You know what his name means? His name means profit bearing. And I believe that he was profitable as a friend and an encourager to Paul. It's possible he could have been a deacon in the church. He references here in verse 18 that Timothy was acquainted with how he ministered to Paul in many things there. He was a faithful minister. His household is an indication of being faithful. since Timothy had pastored the Ephesian church, he would have known this choice saint. Speaking to someone about a week ago, and you know, something in my bones tells me that God saw Paul. And he knew how Paul was feeling. He knew he wasn't in a common house anymore. He knew he was alone. He knew that he had sent those that were ready and able and willing to go to other places, and he was alone. Something tells me that at just the right time, that God dispatched Onesiphorus. And him leaving Ephesus and going all the way to Rome on his own to search out the Apostle Paul is unprecedented of the grace of God. It warms my heart to think that he went all that way to encourage Paul. He traveled from Ephesus to Rome and diligently looked for Paul so he might minister to the needs of him. It seemed difficult for him to find his former pastor. Perhaps some of the Roman Christians were still opposed to Paul as they had heard, as they had been during the first imprisonment. Perhaps the Roman officials were not cooperative and didn't want their choice prisoner to receive any help in his first imprisonment. Paul was in his own house, but now he was under careful guard. But the Bible indicates that he persisted. He wouldn't stop until he was able to steward the encouragement that he had gotten from Paul, and then he brought it back to Paul. He located Paul and risked his own life to stand with him and assist him. You see, Onesiphorus decided to hold fast through treachery. Oh, certainly that individual is speaking against Paul, and that individual has walked away from God, and that individual is whatever, but that's not going to dictate what I do. No, in fact, what I'll do is, in the middle of all this that's going on, Pastor, if it's okay with you, speaking to Timothy, I'm going to go and search out the Apostle Paul. And no doubt in my mind, Timothy said, yes, go encourage him, because he's already spent one letter to encourage me. I believe with all my heart that God blesses good stewards of the grace of God, don't you? And I think Onesiphorus realized that he had been such a steward of the, or such a recipient of the grace of God, that he was obligated by God to return that and to actually minister to others. Think about how easy it would have been and how it's always been just to give up. I mean, good night. Everybody in the area is walking away from Paul. If he's going to bring persecution, I'm not standing with that guy. It'd have been much easier to stop serving God. How easy it is for anyone like Onesiphorus not to side with Paul. For his family to leave Ephesus, it would have been easy to leave it due to persecution. It would have been easy at that point to leave it for, because of peer pressure or anything of the like. But they didn't. Something tells me that Onesiphorus, like Joshua, said, as for me and my house, we're going to serve the Lord. And it doesn't matter what Phygellus or Hermogenes have done. It doesn't matter what these, it doesn't matter that Demas forsook God. I'm not forsaking what God's given to me. I'm going to hold fast to the truth. I'm going to make sure that I'm committed. My preacher, Timothy, has told me that I need to hold fast the form of sound words, because you and I both know that as this letter is written to Timothy, he had disseminated it to others because Paul told him to. Even when others violate faith and violate confidence of other Christians, Onesiphorus was that Christian that said, no, I'm just going to hold on. I believe that you and I think you and I are in the place tonight that we need to make up our minds. That no matter what, we're going to be faithful to what God has committed to our trust. So that we won't change our minds during the dark days. You see, we have, remember, a different purpose. We have a different obligation as stewards to say, God, what you have so entrusted to us, by thy Spirit, help us to steward all of that. Help us not to let it go. Help us to make sure that we're usable ministers. Man, there are some people that believe that Onesiphorus could have lost his life for doing this, that he was put in prison. The indication of the scripture, if you just read all about him and his family and how he He says he was at Rome in another passage, and he wants to greet his household, indicates that he sent Onesiphorus back after he was refreshed. And somewhere between him leaving Rome and getting back to Ephesus, Paul said, tell the household of Onesiphorus I said hello, and that God bless them. That speaks volumes to me. I thank God that in our ministry, that there have been Onesiphorus in our lives. There have been people of encouragement. There have been people who will do above and beyond just to make sure that you keep going. Every church needs those people. Every preacher needs one of those. Every wife needs one of those. Every husband, every teenager, every child needs an Onesiphorus. Every child, every teenager, it doesn't matter what your age, it doesn't matter what tongue you speak, it doesn't matter where you live, it doesn't matter where you work. We all need people in our lives that will come alongside us because others have left, and we all need to be those kinds of people. God help us to hold on to what God has given to us, even through treachery, though others may not be, I am going to be. 1 Peter chapter 4 says it like this, but the end of all things is at hand. Be therefore sober. That word means know what everything is going around you. Know it. Be therefore sober and watch unto prayer. And above all things, have fervent charity among yourselves. For charity covereth a multitude of sins. Use hospitality one to another without grudging. As every man hath received the gift, even so minister the same one to another as good stewards of the manifold grace of God. That passage of Scripture is so loaded. I love that passage of Scripture because that's the church. It is us. It is us with charity. It is us being fervently covered with charity and taking that to cover a multitude of sins. What does that mean? People are going to rub us the wrong way, and people are going to say things that bother us, and people are going to do things that bother us. And the Bible says here, by faith and love, hold fast the form of sound words. And then Peter takes that and says, yes, now that faith and love use amongst yourselves while you're holding fast, because you're stewards of the grace of God. Now, I don't know about you, but when I stand before the Lord, I do genuinely want to hear, well done, thou good and faithful servant. And I know that I'm not going to be able to hear those words if I don't steward all that God's given me faithfully. I don't want to do just what is my duty, as the parable that Jesus told. I want to go beyond that. Onesiphorus is not a word that we probably would name our children or even our pets necessarily. It's a mouthful. But the heart behind Onesiphorus is amazing. I'm going to do whatever it takes to hold on to what I've been given, and I'm going to use it to help somebody else. Let's be that kind of Christian this week. Let's just challenge ourselves to say, God, I want to be faithful to your word, but I want to be a faithful steward of the gospel and of the Spirit of God that you've given to me. And though others may not be faithful, and though others may fail, and I'm watching churches change names and preachers change doctrine, and some ordained ministers change gender, but I'm just going to hold fast. I'm going to hold on to what you've given me, and I want to be faithful to the end. Let's be those kind of Christians in a day and age when the light is getting dimmer and dimmer. Let's shine brightly for the glory of God. Heavenly Father, I thank you for this passage. I thank you so much for Paul's heart to invest in Timothy. I'm so grateful, Lord, that these two choice servants held fast. And God, I pray that you'd help us to hold fast in our generation. May we not use our culture as an excuse. Lord, rather, I pray that we would use our culture as a reason, that we would be even more steadfast and immovable, that we would more abound in the work of the Lord. And God, we know that your word promises that it's not in vain. So may we not listen to the devil's suggestions that it is. Rather, help us, Lord, to be the Onesiphoruses. Help our homes to be places of encouragement. Help our families, God, to encourage others, even the lost. And Lord, we know that people are going to walk away from the faith. We know that the great falling away is going to happen just before the rapture. But God, I believe with all of my heart that you're preparing this country and this world for revival. I believe as things get worse and worse, you're going to make it so that more and more people can be saved before you come. Help us to be faithful so that in that hour we will be used. And then, Lord, we'll welcome the kingdom of heaven firsthand. Bless this passage, I pray, in our hearts tonight. Help us to be faithful and hold on. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Well, thank you for joining me tonight. I look forward to seeing you Sunday morning at 9:45. We'll be right out here outside in between the buildings. We look forward to you being here. God bless you. We'll see you later.